to episode 24 of
Brutal Battle. Oh no!
may you be.
Yay!
I was gonna sting y'all.
That was my best impression of Bruce from Family Guy.
Yeah.
Oh no!
Did y'all taste them beers? Them was nasty.
Oh no!
Now you're starting to sound like a living color.
Yeah. You know. So last episode, a little let down by the bruise.
Yeah.
A pilsner and a positive contact cider thing that
Dogfish
did.
Man. That's... I'm sorry for all the people that have wasted their money on that. Yeah, it was pretty turd-erific.
Yeah, it was... not so good. So anyway, we had gotten an email from Kyle Norman.
Kyle number two.
Kyle number two, but fan number one.
Fan number one. I love doing that.
And it's funny we got this email because we had actually already touched on this, which he was basically asking, you know, what our favorite slash most clever, funniest beer names that we've known of are. So we talked about that two episodes ago. Mm-hmm. So we covered it, but I did want to share with everyone what he said because he had a few that he really liked. Hoptimus Prime, which
that is an excellent.
I think
name.
That's by Laughing Dog Brewing.
Laughing Dog,
and it's got like a picture of like an Optimus Prime type robot, but he's all hops, which is pretty cool. I do like that. And then he said another one called Caped Brusader.
That's retarded.
I've never even heard of that one, so I don't even know what the brewery is or anything. But
Caped Brusader. Interesting.
So, I just thought that was interesting. Wanted to throw that Winnie up here.
Mm-hmm.
And, also wanted to, jump into something else real quick.
Oh, my pants?
Already dur.
Maybe later.
Here we go.
Go for it.
This is a story, and sometimes, you know, I have things kind of queued up.
You have a queue. You do.
I have a queue of things that I want to talk about, and some of the things wait for quite a while, and some of them get done, like, immediately, and...
I heard things.
So the one thing I want to get to right now is a story that I had kind of waiting since episode 19, actually.
Jesus.
Oh yeah, it's been waiting for a while. So it might be a little bit on the older end. It's a news story, but apparently tavern owners in Montana were backing a bill that would restrict brewery tasting rooms.
What?
It was. Thankfully, stricken down.
Good, because those are fun.
In the Montana House, they struck the bill down. But, you know, the tavern's trying to basically get rid of brewery tasting rooms. I mean, legally not get rid of them, but they're basically trying to make it expensive for breweries to have these tasting rooms. It was a measure that would have required breweries to purchase... a $100,000 state license to sell beer directly to consumers.
Damn.
Taverns. What's up?
That's insane. I mean, I wonder
that's a lot.
If there's a lot of like breweries concentrated in one area in Montana where just.
I don't think there's.
They were losing all this business or something.
I don't
something.
Think there's a lot of anything concentrated
I know,
in Montana.
That's what makes it an odd thing.
Right. It is very weird. But the apparently the taverns were arguing. That the breweries have grown basically into full-scale retail establishments, and that it's basically unfair competition for them, since bars have to purchase expensive and limited alcohol licenses.
Mm-hmm.
So, the brewers then said that the bill would kill a fledgling industry. And said that the tap rooms, well, they made the point, the tap rooms close at 8 p.m. So that would not be in competition with taverns, really.
Yeah.
You know, everything after 8 o'clock, because, I mean, as far as I know, people don't stop partying at 8 o'clock.
No.
Actually, that's probably when it really starts. Or even after
even
that.
Even later than that.
I mean, I remember when I was in college, we didn't really go out to the bars until, like,
10. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
If that.
I mean, it's a weak argument. Mm-hmm. It really is. And I kind of wrote something to myself on this just saying that I kind of find it absurd that they would seek to mandate that the brewers buy such an expensive license in order to directly sell to their own consumers? I mean, what kind of society do we live in where they think that it should be mandated that the people making the product shouldn't be allowed to sell it directly to people who want the product?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I mean, I understand because that's kind of the way we've gone with a lot of things. Like, there's all these middlemen involved everywhere with everything, pretty much. You just have to, like, create all these extra jobs, I guess. But for real, like, if there's an awesome brewery around me, I should be able to go straight to that brewery and say, I want one of these beers, like a draft, or I want a six-pack, and buy it directly from them.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a consumer, I don't want to have to pay extra. And that's what's happening, you know, if you're going to a tavern. I mean, okay, first of all, there's the extra you pay when you're buying it at, like, a liquor store. Or if you live in Pennsylvania, a beer distributor, which is stupid in itself.
God, it's
because you can't even buy just, like, a six-pack. You have to buy a whole case of beer, which is, that's just a whole other thing. But then you take it further, and whenever you buy any sort of beer at, like, a tavern, restaurant, whatever, the markup is astronomical. I mean, it's liquor store is typically around 20%. Like a restaurant, oh my God, I don't even know. Is it like 50% more?
Yeah, probably. Something at least.
I know their wines are out of control.
I go buy a 90-minute at a place. It's usually like $9.
Yeah.
For one.
And what's a 4-pack, a 90-minute?
$10?
Yeah.
So.
Dang.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous markup.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's insane. Well, now that I think about it, you know, like, I was at a restaurant recently, and I was just kind of looking at the menu and saw, you know, beers like $6, you know, $6 for a bottle of beer. And I was thinking about it, and I'm like, a six pack of that is like $10. So six times six, that's a nice chunk of change they're making right there.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure they get it cheaper than you would at a liquor store.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously. So they're making even more.
They're not buying from the liquor store. They're buying from the beer and liquor distributors who are getting a cut of everything, too.
Everyone's got a hand in the pocket.
It's just this trail of stops where at every checkpoint, an extra amount of cash gets thrown on top of it. Like, you got to pay this much more now. Oh, stop at this checkpoint. Now you got to pay this much more. And it just keeps going. It's kind of, I don't know, it kind of ticks me off a little bit. I mean, I'm at my wit's end at this point with that kind of crap.
The more you think about it, the more it's going to piss you off, basically.
Yeah, I mean, why do we have to have everything pass through other people's hands?
I don't know, because people sue. That's basically what it comes down to, lawsuits, stupid idiots getting in dumb arguments where the result of the argument is passing a new law that mandates something so that this doesn't happen again. Stuff like that.
Indeed.
Yeah. Just that's what all comes back to, greed.
Yes, I agree.
Usually.
But when it's about beer and drinking beer is about relaxing and it's about camaraderie.
It's all about money.
I just want us to focus. For the people who
make it.
I want us to focus a little bit more on just the making people happy portion.
Yeah.
And I think there's some breweries out there that do focus on that quite a bit, like Lagunitas. Lagunitas really does. There's,
They're all high anyway, so they're happy as clams.
Yeah. They are the ones who like to get baked all the time, aren't they?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, their beers are pretty cheap. I mean, the price points are pretty cheap.
Yeah, they're decent.
So.
For what you're getting. I mean, you're getting high quality.
Yeah, oh, it is. It is certainly high quality stuff. I love
a little something-something. Just had a couple of those.
Well, and, you know, Rebecca just informed me, I was talking to her, and she was talking about the price of some of these beers when she goes out to buy them. Mm-hmm. And she's like, some of these are just really expensive, and they actually turn out to not be all that great.
Yep.
And then she was kind of saying, like, one that I bought for you guys that you haven't tasted yet, which I think we might be tasting it either this episode or next or something like that. She's like, it's kind of expensive. And she's like, $4 for a 12-ounce bottle.
Damn.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's expensive. But then I immediately said, that is expensive for a 12-ounce bottle, but at the same time, I can think of more expensive ones like, you know, Dogfish Head's Worldwide Stout, which was $10 for a 12-ounce bottle.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
And I hated that. I actually dumped it.
Yeah, I don't like Worldwide Stout either. It's too much.
But then, I don't know if you know this, but she contrasted it with something that we had recently that we loved. In fact, the Big Dipper, which was in a showdown with Racer 5 for Master Broverlordness.
Master Broverlord. And how much was that?
That's a 22-ounce. You want to guess how much for a 22?
$7.
$8.
$8.
$8, but that's for 22?
22 ounces, yeah.
That's
versus
$4 awesome.
For a 12.
Well, also, what was the alcohol content on the Big Dip? It's like 10%.
Yeah, Big Dip will,
and it's a very good,
right.
Yeah, and it's a very tasty beer. $8 for a 22-ounce, and the alcohol content's like 10%. That's a bargain beer in my estimation.
Yep.
I mean, it really is. I don't even know what Racer 5 is, but...
Yeah, I don't remember.
Maybe we should look into it and do like a comparison of what's most bang for your buck between those two.
Here's an ironic thing. And this isn't really related... Well, it's kind of piggybacking off of the Racer 5 thing. And I don't remember if I talked about this in the episode 22 at my place. But when we were at the barbecue last Saturday, I had 90 Minute... And immediately followed by a Racer 5.
Did you?
And 90 Minute, for me, just blew Racer 5 out of the water.
For real?
That just goes to show you that these blind tastings...
Let me look. I'm looking... Keep talking, but I'm looking back.
Because these... I don't know. It's hard to say. It's not because I knew what it was. I literally had them back to back. Like, I'd finished the 90 Minute... Took maybe a minute or two, reached in the fridge, grabbed one of your Racer 5s, and then drank that. And I was like, this isn't as good. So,
well,
I don't know.
Here's the thing, because I'm looking back, and looking back at our log notes here.
Yeah.
And when we originally rated Racer 5, you gave it a 7,
mm-hmm.
and I also gave it a 7. And then when we rated, we had 90 Minute on the show.
Oh,
and when we rated 90 Minute, you gave it a 6, which honestly, that's not a huge difference.
Okay. I didn't realize you gave it a 6.
But it would indicate that you liked Racer 5 more.
Yeah.
I actually gave it a 4, the 90 Minute a 4.
Mm-hmm.
But I've typically not been huge into like the 90 Minute and 120 Minute. I mean, it's good. I'll drink 120 it.
120 Minute's a bit overdone.
Ooh, yeah. I mean, that's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, in the right situation, I like it. Like, when you gave me the aged ones, I was very pleased. That was excellent.
And I still have two.
Well, then.
I have one of each. Maybe I'll just... I kind of don't know when, like, the optimal time would be to unleash those.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, our 50th episode or something.
That would be money.
Yeah, I'd just bring those suckers.
Because I have one consecration left, and I'm saving that for, like...
100th episode?
Super special day.
100th episode?
Or maybe when my son is born.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're going to have a child.
I don't know if it's going to be a girl or boy, but that's what I'm hoping.
I actually told Kyle that if he has a boy, as soon as... Well, actually, no. I think I said regardless of the sex of the child, he should throw a D20 in its hand soon as it's born.
I'm going to take that picture.
For the uninitiated out there, it's a 20-sided die. We use it for things like Pathfinder, Dungeons & Dragons, whatnot.
I think our... 3 listeners know that we're dorks. I mean, I think we've pounded that note home.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that they get the reference.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, D20. 20-sided die.
But if you all want to know what it's all about, go out and Google Pathfinder and Google. But make sure it's like a...
Roll up a character and then come to Maryland and we'll play. And it'll be awesome.
Oh, yeah. We welcome all of you.
Speaking of which, I heard... Was interested in coming to a
Rebecca?
Session.
Yeah. You heard Rebecca was interested?
I did.
She confessed that she might be interested in coming to observe.
Just to watch. Come tomorrow. It'll be awesome.
Not to play, because I would explain to her, like, I'd say things about the storyline and things that were happening, and then she'd kind of be like, oh, okay, yeah, or this sounds interesting, or that's weird, or whatever, and then she was just like, I don't understand how this works. Like, it's just confusing to me.
I explain it to my coworkers all the time because they're curious. You know, they know I'm a dork. They're fine with it, but yeah, they don't understand how the whole how I run the game. Like, they don't get that whole thing. Like, they're like, there's people just sit down and roll dice. Like, there's no video or nothing to look at or anything. And I'm just like, no, I just talk and we visualize it. And
they're like, it's all verbal. You have to think exactly. and be creative. And what's that?
I mean, we don't role play as much, but, you know, I'm not really a huge, huge role player anyway.
Well, I can...
First person, anyway.
Right. I can really pull Pathfinder and role-playing and stuff like that into, like, the microbrew world. Because I feel that way. When I'm trying to explain things like Pathfinder to people, I get kind of, like, a little bit of, like, the detachment. Like, immediate detachment. People are like, oh, okay, oh, nerdiness. And they don't understand. I get the same thing with my love of microbrews. You know, when I try to talk to someone who's... Yeah. Who doesn't drink beer at all or drinks macros, they just don't understand the world of microbrews.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them don't even really know it exists. They've just kind of heard something here or there.
Yeah.
They've heard the word, and that's about all.
Most people hear, you know, microbrews, and they think Sam Adams or something like
that. Well, and that's the thing, because Sam Adams has been, you know...
Yeah.
I mean, it's
trying
it's
to
like the quintessential.
Adopt that viewpoint, that label, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of, sort of.
So, it's similar to me, in a sense. Like, I get the same kind of reaction
when I talk about
Pathfinder and microbrews. But, kind of, that kind of got me thinking, though, and this is something I've kind of wanted to pose to you for a while, but I kept forgetting. So, Sam Adams was, like, the big one to start kind of the microbrew revolution.
What about Anchor? You don't think Anchor's up there with them?
Probably on the West Coast, or Anchor
Sierra
was.
Nevada?
But, I mean, on the East Coast where we are...
Yeah, obviously. Boston.
Sam Adams, like, big time. Yeah, because it's from Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sierra Nevada was kind of there as well. Yeah. So you could say it was Anchor and Sierra Nevada and Sam Adams. And then I feel like the next big push was Dogfish Head.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of get more into, like, the interesting, you know, the interesting ingredients and kind of be like, oh, it's not just about making... better tasting beer, you can also use all these crazy ingredients and really experiment and blah blah. So they kind of push the envelope further. So I wanted to pose, do you think there's another brewery that's kind of shaping the microbrew revolution in a different way now?
After Dogfish
Head? After Dogfish Head. Is there someone else who's kind of leading the charge now? I think about that and I'm kind of like,
Oscar Blues, maybe.
Oscar Blues? Why do you think... I mean, were they...
They're pretty widely available, and their beers are amazing, for the most part.
They are, and I would say from the aspect of... They kind of popularized cans, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
For the microbrew side of things.
Yeah.
And
that's what came to my mind, anyway.
Yeah, and actually, now when I talk to people who are aware of microbrews, but they're not, like, huge into it, they're like, oh, I hear... There's this microbrew in a can, and they're, like, very confused by it. It's kind of like people with, were saying, like, there's this wine that people said was really good and it had a screw top. You know, it's like, only if they're corked can the wine
be box?
Good. Yeah, exactly. It's like, there are other ways to do things. You know, beers aren't only good if they're in a bottle or in a glass. You know, they can be good in a can, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about the quality of the product you're putting into it.
Well, just piggybacking off that little note, I hate people when they're like, I can't drink it on tap, I have to drink it in a bottle, or I can't drink it in a bottle, I have to drink it in a can. Like, bullshit, it's the same stuff.
No, because you even said yourself that Sweet Baby Jesus is better on tap.
Yeah, but that's because, and I've had it in bottle since then, and it's been better in bottle. I just think I had a bad batch of bottle.
Well, but there is something to be said for...
But people that are adamant about that, like, they will not...
Oh, okay.
I can't...
No matter
and
what.
People that claim, like, oh, I can't drink draft beer because it gives me gas or something, like, shit, it does. Yeah, you're my ass, it gives you gas. Maybe beer gives them gas, but that's just because it's draft.
There is something to be said that is legit about people who say that they don't like beers on draft. If they're going to a place that doesn't
clean their
lines...
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, their tap lines, it's going to taste bad.
Yeah.
So that makes sense, but if you're going to a place that regularly cleans them and they put it out, you know, they do draft, but they also do in bottles, it's probably about the same.
What do you think about the quote-unquote asshole of a beer?
What?
You never heard about that?
I have not even heard
of it. How people never drink, like, the bottom half inch.
Oh, okay.
Like, the bottom, like,
right.
It gets warm and it apparently tastes different and whatever. I noticed my uncle doesn't drink the bottom of the beer. He dumps it.
There are a lot of people who do that, I know, and that's something I experienced in college. But it was really only with the macros. But
micro? Macro.
No, the macro beers. Okay. Yeah. And I actually remember there were some occasions, certain beers I couldn't do the last little bit at the bottom. Yeah. Because it was particularly gross.
Bottle conditioned beers, obviously, because there's all that sediment and crap in the bottom, but
I remember things like Keystone Light. And I was just like, I can't do the bottom of the Keystone. Because
it's terrible from the top to the bottom.
No. But for some reason, that last little bit at the bottom was just worse.
So you think there is some truth to that? What do you think, listeners? Do beers have assholes? Please send us email at...
Oh, yes. BrutalBattlePodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, please. We haven't plugged that in a little
No, time. We haven't Never. Plugged it. Or the website at BrutalBattle.com. Or the fact that we're on iTunes and Stitcher and DaggerPress.com.
Yes.
And we would love websites. You to go on iTunes and give us reviews.
Because we have a whole lot of zero, I think.
There are a few reviews up there.
We do have reviews?
Yeah, we have like two.
Are they bad?
No, they're
Have we talked about this?
They're favorable. No, we haven't talked about it. But they are favorable, and you can give a star rating when you're doing a review, but if you don't have a certain number of the ratings, it won't show up to the general public. So we don't have enough yet.
Yeah, okay.
So we need, please get out there and help us and give us ratings on...
Rate us terribly. Just help us.
Rate us anyway.
Yes.
Anyway you
we
please.
We suck.
Anyway, that being said...
Let's drink some beers.
I concur.
Gosh, look at this. Okay, I've just been sitting here eyeing up this head on A.
It
looks
a big
like
one.
Coral. Like, look at it. It's all... The big bubbles are kind of sticking to the sides of the glass. Very large bubbles. It's very interesting. It looks like coral, basically.
I'm going to venture to say that this... round of tasting will be better than last.
Oh, yeah. You can tell just by the color.
And the color of A is?
Is?
It's like a beige, well, like a brownish with a little bit of orangish tint to it, but
orange,
not too crazy.
Yep. Coppery, kind of, sort of, not really.
Yeah, kind of coppery-ish. But the head on it would indicate to me some nice hops.
Yes. The first... Okay, this is going to sound weird. Celery was the very first thing I smelled. Celery.
Hold on.
Celery, I get it
celery
again.
Celery would be kind of a watery
scent. Yes. It's got a vegetal, watery, kind of sharp.
Did you pick that off the wheel?
Babe. Celery. Vegetal. No, it's just, that's how I would describe celery.
It's got this kind of syrupy nose to
me. Yeah, now when I shake it, it's some other things are coming up. But right when I stuck it up to my nose, it just smacked me with celery. Like, I want blue cheese and wings right now.
The nose has a sweetness to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a hop presence.
Yes.
This is like a higher alcohol hoppy type beer.
Yes.
This could be like a barley wine that has a nice hop presence. This could be a double IPA.
Double IPA, yeah, definitely.
Could be a double
I'm excited.
Pale ale, which Flying Dog's done, which I don't
double
understand.
Double pale ale. Ooh, double DPA, not a double IPA.
This,
I'm excited.
It smells good.
I'm struggling to get any other notes. Like, honestly, when I shook it up and I'm smelling it, the nose kind of got lost a little bit.
Yeah. I just know that I'll probably
I don't
find
smell
it
anything.
Kind of good.
Yeah. All right.
Let's taste.
Drink. Hey.
Well, there's the hoppiness.
I still get a little bit of celery in the flavor. I get celery. Sorry. I just get
celery. No. I can see where you're getting it. This is a bit astringent.
Yes, it is.
It's a high alcohol content. The question will be, how high is this actual content?
How does it leave your palate?
With just an alcohol taste, really.
Yep. That's what I thought.
There's really not much of any flavor that it's leaving.
This is a forgettable beer, unfortunately. There's really nothing here drawing me back. It's very, it's odd. It's like a blank slate.
It's not terrible.
No, it's not bad. It's just...
It's a little ill-balanced.
Strange that it's... Yeah, I get alcohol and that's about it.
It's imbalanced. The hops are a bit, like, skunky.
Yeah.
It's like a hard skunk hop.
It's hard. It's assertive in its hoppiness. It's assertive in its bitterness. Not in a good way.
Yeah, it's
you get
not
a
like
sharp bite and then it recedes. This is kind of like it punches you a little bit.
It's like it bangs your tongue with the hops bitterness.
Yep.
And then you get the astringency, and then mm-hmm. that's it. You really don't get like any actual like discernible flavors.
Yeah. I don't. It's a very flavorless brew.
God, I hope this isn't the one that was $4 for a bottle.
God, me too. That would be so
Yeah, have something to complain about.
You're a bad A. Bad beer.
You stay in the corner, eh? All
right.
Okay,
B.
So B is a lot more on the brown side, but it's like a reddish brown.
Very, and it's opaque as opposed to transparent.
Yeah, you can't see through it.
Can't see through it all that well. I mean, you can, but it's definitely harder.
You gotta
more red. Definitely more red. Much more red.
Yeah. The coloration would. And let me see. The legs on it, I mean, as it comes down the glass on the side, looks like it could be kind of like a barley wine-ish.
Yeah, it doesn't stick style. At all. The head is super thin, if there at all.
I want to smell.
Wow. Another odd one I get right off the nose is coconut.
Do you get coconut?
I get coconut.
I can see where you're getting it.
I get toasted coconut, like
my
big
nose
time.
Is closing up on me.
Big time coconut.
I get a medicine-y note.
I like this nose a lot.
I don't know about that.
It reminds me of the Maui Coconut Porter, which I do not like, but it takes some of those characteristics and makes it smells good.
It's got this real medicinal quality to the nose.
See, I don't get that too much. Like a syrupy kind of, like a thick and
sweet.
Yeah,
totally sweet and syrupy.
Yeah.
And, but like a medicinal sweet and syrupy.
Yeah, it's starting to come out a little bit.
That's
but you know me, I like. See, those are the things. That's where we disagree. I like the sweet syrup beer.
This is going to be high in alcohol.
Oh, yeah,
I
big time.
Feel it.
I'm going to look forward to drinking this. You gave me a
pour,
too.
Based on the nose, it should have a
thick
mouthfeel.
Oh, yeah, big time.
It should be round.
No, it shouldn't be round.
You know what it is.
Or fat.
Or fat.
Maybe that's what they mean. Thick. Round, fat.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Well, I'm inclined to taste this.
Yes, sir. Go.
Oh, that coats the palate.
Wow.
That coats the palate.
Barley wine.
Mm-hmm.
Barley wine. Definitely.
Most likely some type of barley wine.
It tastes a little like horn dog.
Does
a little bit like horn dog. I'm not going to say it's horn dog because I don't remember getting coconut off horn dog, but it definitely finishes like horn dog.
Are you getting coconut in the mouth? Or in the flavor?
A little bit. This is a tough one because
it's not.
It is barley wine to the max. If this isn't if this is not a barley wine, I quit this podcast. This is a barley wine.
It could be.
God, watch it not be a barley wine. All right.
No, I mean, it should be a barley wine.
I didn't say that.
Oh, there's some sort of flavor. There's a flavor I'm getting, and I'm trying to think about.
Get your beer. Get your flavor meal out, man.
It's not. It's a comparison I wanted to make to something that exists that I've had.
It kind of reminds me of. There's a beer I'm trying to think of.
Cherry.
Yeah, I was thinking
there
raisin.
Is,
I was thinking raisin, but cherry. Yeah.
There is a definite cherryness to this.
Yeah, I see that.
And it's kind of like because it's got that kind of medicinal. Quality to it. It's a little bit like those cherry safety pops.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm talking about? Cherry safety pops.
Gosh.
Like those lollipops with the
loops. I feel
like
I've had this beer before.
Have you? I may have, too. Mm. And the more I realize it, the cherry's pretty pronounced to me.
Mm-hmm.
This may actually have been... This may have seen some sort of aging.
You get a burn alcohol?
Oh,
just
yeah,
touch,
I mean...
Just a touch, but it doesn't linger, though. That's the
right.
thing.
It does
That's
not
the big
linger.
Difference between A and B. This alcohol burn doesn't really linger, I don't think.
I think this has done a pretty good job with not being too astringent.
What about balance-wise? I think it's a little too sweet, honestly. And I know barley wines are sweet, but this is pretty freaking sweet. Like, my tongue's burning from the sugar, not the alcohol.
Yes, I agree. The sweetness is a little too much. It's not... doesn't make it terrible...
No.
It's not slightly
terrible.
Unpleasant. Slightly.
It's funny, because I think about this now, and I'm like, this is a beer you have to be in the mood for. And it's funny, because I can look at that and say that in a positive light when it's a barley wine, But at the same time, I can think that same way for a Pilsner and think, ugh. You know what I mean? You have to be in the mood to drink a Pilsner, but we don't like Pilsners. You have to be in the mood to drink a barley wine, but we like barley wines, so.
Go back to A right now and tell me what kind of flavor you get.
Oh, I saw your face. I'm curious. Mmm.
I get, like, black pepper.
Pine salt.
I get black pepper.
Yeah, black pepper. Yeah, I see that. As soon as I smelled it, I got, like, pine salt. Like, someone took pine salt and squirted it up my nose.
I get a little bit of soapy water.
Yeah, yeah. Soapy. I get all that.
Oh,
black
God.
Pepper, though. Yeah.
And then, like, a tinge of pickle juice.
Yeah. Ugh. I get, like, big time. Like, someone took a stick of evergreen and just shoved it up my nose.
Yeah, he's kind of butt.
Ugh. I don't like A at all. A is poo.
Yeah.
B definitely is my favorite of the two. I'm not sure about what we're going to do numerically.
Oh, my God. After having... Have, like, another sip of A and then go straight to B. It's going to kill you. Ugh. It's like...
Yeah.
These two beers are, like, death to your palate together. It's disgusting when you do these back-to-back. Really bad.
Ugh.
I challenge you to pour these together and drink that.
No. Ugh.
It's so bad.
God.
It's so
all
bad.
All the weird flavors in A are playing off B, and they're both just having this harmony of funk. This harmony.
The harmony of funk.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God. Okay, do you have an idea what you want to give these beers?
George Clinton. You go. I have no
you
idea.
You
want
to give them George Clinton?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so George Clinton is now a number rating.
Yeah, I give them George Clinton.
And the and if you want that number to go even higher, you add the P-Funk All-Stars.
Oh, of course. And the guy with, like, the big, you know, pacifier and the diaper.
Okay, so you want me to go first on this?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm curious to see what you give A, because A is a very offensive beer to me.
A is offensive, but let me go one more on this.
When you get, I mean, the faces you've made drinking that, no man should make drinking a beer, so... Just let that stew for a second.
Oh, God. Yeah, I gotta go one. I gotta go one on A. And I want to go four on B.
I would say one on A. B, I'm gonna take some thinking time. So talk amongst yourselves.
Well, I said a four on B. I was kind of between, like, maybe a three, maybe a four, maybe a five. So I was kind of in there. I'm like, just do the four. Because... I don't know. I could go a five if the sweetness wasn't too much, but the sweetness it's just a little bit. It's a little too much.
I know. There is a beer that this is reminding me of. I'm just really reaching to find. And that tastes like old school too. That's
Dogfish Head.
Dogfish Head.
Yeah. Old school barley wine.
Yeah.
What if it's Bigfoot?
I'm giving it a three. I'm not too crazy about it.
Are you giving a three?
Yeah. As far as barley wine's concerned, it's just. There are too many outlying things that really don't harmonize for me.
Okay, so that gives A an overall of 1, big surprise, and B an overall 3.5.
Which isn't terrible, terrible, but...
pop into the reveal. I cannot wait to see what A is.
Yeah.
This piece of garbage.
Piece of doo-doo.
Okay, here we go. A with a 1 and terrible. Oh, it's Sierra Nevada's Ruthless Rye.
Wow, interesting. That would explain why it doesn't taste like anything, because it's made by Sierra Nevada. But they have some hoppy beers.
Well,
so.
I had this beer some time ago.
Yeah, I've had it too.
Like a year and a half ago, I had this beer.
Why?
I thought it was okay. I wasn't huge on it. I thought it was okay. It was highly recommended to me by some people, but
I see the rye, like the celery, black pepper, rye. I think that kind of makes a little bit of sense. You know, all those flavors have some similarities. I think.
For some reason, it's not good right now.
No, it's not.
Is it like a bad balance of hops to rye?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what it is. And we were saying it's like disgusting astringency.
What's the ABV on
that
bad boy?
Yeah, I'm trying to search for it. 6.6%.
Wow.
It tastes like it's so much higher.
It's like 9.6 maybe, or 8.6.
Bad on you, Sierra Nevada. Yeah. I don't know if this is just a bad run of it or what, but...
That happens. That 100% happens. I've opened up a bottle of 60 Minute and taken a sip and dumped it out because it was just like, what in the hell is wrong with this? This is terrible. So.
All right, well then let's go to B. Yes. B, the better one of the evening, 3.5.
I am almost positive I've had B.
Okay. You want to take any guesses?
Well, I said Horn Dog. I said Old School, but it's a beer I think I've had, but I just can't put my finger on. So I'm just curious to see what it is.
Okay. Well, B3.5 is Weyerbacher Insanity Ale Aged in Oak Barrels. Did I not say age?
You did say
I said
age.
I feel like this could be age.
I have not had this.
So. Yeah, Weyerbacher. All it says is ale aged in oak barrels. This is the expensive one. $4.09 for this one bottle. And then, actually, perfect. I said we didn't know how much Racer 5 was. Racer 5 was $2.09 for one bottle.
Wow.
So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cash money. It's not a barley wine, so this will be my last episode. It's really been fun.
Nah, it's cool. Actually, I'm going to Weyerbacher soon. I haven't been there.
Where is Weyerbacher?
Weyerbacher's in Pennsylvania, somewhere in Pennsylvania. I don't know. Okay. We'll figure it out when we're on our way there. But, okay, so that's the Insanity. I'd never had the Insanity before. I take it you had not either.
No.
It's not bad. It's not bad. I mean, it definitely drinks like a barley wine. It just says ale aged in oak barrels.
I see the aging because it has that smoothness, but the oak lost on me.
Really? Because I felt like I was getting a little bit of a woodiness. Oh, that's why I said age.
That's the beer. Palo Santo is the beer I was trying to place. That's what this reminds me of.
Really?
Palo Santo Moron. Yes, sir.
Palo Santo is so much darker, though.
Yeah, it is a lot darker and a lot woodsier. But this is, it's leaning me in that direction a little bit. All yeah. Right.
Well, not amazing, but a lot better than last episode, I'd say, taste-wise. So, sorry, Sierra Nevada. Not so good. Weyerbacher, okay. You did all right, buddy. You did okay.
It's pretty sad that we give, 3.5?
Yeah.
And that's okay?
Yeah. We've already talked about this.
I know.
It's
I
sad,
know,
but it's sad
but
reality.
True.
And on that, we say thank you very much for listening once again. Please send us emails. BrutalBattlePodcast@gmail.com. Go to iTunes. Give us reviews. We need them. And, go out and find yourself a nice beer. Cuddle up with our podcast. Listen. Drink a beer.
Cuddle up with us. We'll take you home to the sweet spot. Mm-mm.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.